It's Mail It In Friday.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, Jonas Siegel from The Athletic, and Jamie Noodles McLennan. It's a Maple Leaf game night tonight. Bruins in town, Hall of Fame night down at the ACC. Speaking of which, Paul Kariya will join us later this hour around 6:25. Catch up with Paul Kariya. And Austin Matthews will not go tonight. No announcement on what's going to happen tomorrow. They're in Boston tomorrow, but I can't imagine he doesn't play tonight and then he plays tomorrow.
Well, he hasn't skated since the Vegas game, which was Monday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, he ain't playing.
I don't think he'll play. And if he's not playing, don't even fly him down. Why get on the plane? Just shut him down. They don't play again until next Thursday.
Right.
Give him a few days off. I think if he's not on the ice by Monday or Tuesday next week, then the flares are going off.
But now you're starting to...
Then it's borderline panic mode.
But do you maybe even give him Monday, Tuesday off and just have him practice Wednesday and then play Thursday?
Depends on what the... The problem is we have no idea what the injury is. If it's a hip flexor, I've had a flared-up hip flexor that takes 3 or 4 days. Where you don't do anything for 3 or 4 days, flare-up goes away and away you go. If it's back spasms, same type of thing. If it's a dislocated rib, we have no idea what it is. So for us to speculate and say, because if we had a diagnosis as to this is exactly what it is, you go, okay, the timeline is usually on most, like if you had a high ankle sprain, you're like, okay, it's 4 to 6 weeks and you're better off breaking the ankle. But you can't. We have no idea what it is. What are they saying? Upper body, right?
Yeah. Upper body.
Well, and they've gotten away from even giving back in the day, when I used to cover the team with, I don't know, Randy Carlisle, Ron Wilson, they would give you an idea of how long the guy was going to be out.
Right.
With this team, all it is day to day.
Cone of silence.
We expect him back in a week, or we expect him back in two.
Right.
And day to day, can be 2 weeks. Like, Mitch Marner was day to day. Morgan Riley was day to day.
And did Mitch Marner not, at the end of last year, when the dust settled, did he not have mono? Wasn't it something that he came out and said that, people forget that he kind of fizzled down the stretch and struggled a little bit, but I think he was battling something more than just...
They said he was sick at one point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I thought he let it slip in an interview.
I think Babcock did. I think it was Babcock did it with us.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, Mitchie had mono, and that threw him off. And
yeah, and I think we all kind of looked at each other because that was not public knowledge.
No, it wasn't.
But that was an off season, and it's fine. But yeah, they're secret with their injuries. But for us to be like, okay, well, if he doesn't play tonight, but plays tomorrow, well, what if it was just something that flared up, and tomorrow he's fine and good to go? Like Austin Matthews is good enough that you can take 3 days off and hit the ice, and he'd be fine. But if it's something that could be reoccurring, you need the time.
Well, given the fact that they've said it's lingering,
right? Yeah,
that would make you think it's. Exactly.
Groin or hip flexor or something. To me, a lingering issue is directly related to the way that you play hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So a guy could have a sore shoulder, but if he's not a physical player, he could still play through it. Now, I didn't see, the game against Vegas, I didn't see him being ginger at all.
No, me neither. Babcock came out the next day and he's like, he didn't have the same power we're used to seeing. Looked pretty powerful to me.
But it's just it's the hindsight thing. When you know a guy is hurt, then you go back and you're like, maybe he wasn't playing as well. Like, I went back and looked at all his numbers and stuff for the previous week, and I'm like, maybe something was wrong. But the numbers sort of look fine.
But I think Babcock's looking at a tape and saying he's got a one-on-one situation. Usually he would jump middle ice or do something here. Instead, he just saucered it off or do something.
He blew by, who was it, Lucas Spezza?
Spezza on the outside, a little spinorama, and then created that goal.
Pretty good.
So we all knew he looked fine there, but maybe the rest of the game, he kind of took his foot off the gas. We may not notice it, but Babcock would notice certain situations where if he was 100%, he would have made something different happen out there. It's clear as a coach, but the coach knows the verdict. He's dealing with all the information.
Oh, yeah, he knows. He may not know exactly when he's coming back. I'm sure he's got an idea of when he hopes he's coming back.
Well,
and he knows exactly what the injury is.
His comment the other day, there's sports science and Saskatchewan science. Didn't you see that comment? Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was almost like he was taking a shot at it and, like, saying, if I had my way, you know, I would have my diagnosis of him. He's back next Thursday. Playing, give him a couple days off.
Which is interesting because yesterday I was on with Landsberg in the morning and they were using an NBA comparison and applying it to the NHL and how in recent years Greg Popovich created this. They shut down superstar players during the regular season.
Yeah.
Back-to-backs, you're not playing Steph Curry, you're not playing Tim Duncan, you're not playing LeBron. That's the coach making that decision. Mm-hmm. Babcock does not seem like the kind of guy right now that you could convince it's a good idea to shut down a star player. But I also think it's because of where they are as a team. Like, I'm curious to see if he's willing to adapt in future years, because I think it's going to get to that point. With sports science becoming more and more prevalent, at some point they're going to approach this team and say, hey, we know we're getting 115 points. Let's say they feel good about that.
Yeah.
Let's save him for April. Let's save him for May and June. He doesn't need to play the back-to-back with Vegas in town tonight.
Right.
You know, I think that is more than likely coming to the NHL. And I think the Leafs are the first perfect team to spearhead that, because they don't care about ticket sales. They don't care about ratings. They don't care about Joe Fan, who spent $400 to show up at the game. That guy's coming anyway. With You're Matthews right. or not.
The only problem that I could see with that, and I'm just being the devil's advocate on this, is if the team does stumble somehow down the stretch, and you're looking back and going, man, could have used Matthews in November against Vegas when they lost that game, or and now all of a sudden you're at 98 or 94 points, and it's going to take you 96 to get in the playoffs, and you hit the ditch the last couple. Like, and
well, you have to be confident. I would say this. I'm not sure it'll ever happen in the NHL in October, November, December, because this league can be very, very unpredictable. The NBA is very predictable. Golden right. State is getting their 60 wins. Yeah. They're going to the playoffs. Yeah. I don't care what the Cavs have done through 10 games. They're going to the playoffs. The NHL, weird things happen. Teams, for whatever reason, have a down year. Players have a weird year, and it just spirals out of control on them. But later in the year, I could see it. March, you got 12 games left.
The opposite.
Well, I think you got 12 games left, and you're 15 points into a playoff spot. Shut them. Why play tonight?
You do it with the goalie. You see it all the time with goalies.
Well, because statistically, it's been shown.
No, I know, but the back-to-back. But see, I'd still challenge the statistic part about it, because people don't realize the goalie that's playing on the second night is playing behind that tired team that's still playing.
Well, it would make sense to play all the guys you didn't play the night before.
Right. But, like, I say this all the time, and I was a backup goalie. I'll take 85% of Frederik Andersen over 100% of Jamie McLennan or
Curtis McIlhenny.
Like guys like that on a back-to-back if you need that win. And that's why the traditional, where the numbers and the old-school guys maybe butt heads, because there are certain guys that, like, I played with Kiprusoff and Luongo. Both of those guys actually were fine. And you may not think statistically they're great on the second night, but the team also has a dip because those are the same guys that are playing the night before. So their legs and their minds aren't as sharp. So you're actually, I know statistically,
the goalie's in a worse spot.
The goalie's in a worse spot. But I get it. If you have two guys that can play, absolutely play the second guy.
But we did already actually see this year with the Leafs. They held Van Riemsdyk and Martin out of a game in San Jose, where they just said, you know, we're going to think about... I talked to Martin about it the other day. He said, they basically said, we've got this road trip coming out. We can see that something is, like, bothering you. You sit this one game and you'll be back 3 days later, 2 days later.
And I think Matt Martin said, that's the science guys tell you. You're not playing and that's it.
Well, like, there you have it. As for the goaltending situation, look at Devan Dubnyk last night. Back-to-back shutout against the Habs.
Yeah.
You know, he...
Habs threw up 40 on him, I think, or 41 or
played the night before against the Leafs.
It's all... A lot of it is, there are numbers to support it, but you also have to look at individual situation too, and maybe hunches sometimes. You just, you know, talk.
You're allowed to be human and play the human element.
Sometimes.
You're still allowed to do that.
No,
I don't
Sorry,
think
Jonas,
so.
But you are. Hall of Fame weekend, Friday five pack. This one's a little bit complicated to explain. We wanted to put a Hall of Fame spin on it. So, athletes that have played three or fewer seasons, so are three or less seasons into their career, who we feel have the best chance at being Hall of Famers. So, obviously, none of them are really locks. I mean, it's kind of difficult to be a lock if you've only played one year, 2 years, or 3 years.
You're a good up-and-coming player. That's what you are, that you believe.
You believe they're on pace.
Exactly.
They've got a chance. Maybe the tangibles, maybe the intangibles, maybe the markets, whatever. So, let's do it. You guys ready for the Friday
five pack?
He keeps asking me to give him a high five.
All right, classic. High five.
Five beers. Yeah, they were all out of six packs. Weird, huh?
Friday, five pack.
Top five, top five.
All right, so another week of this with Jonas in here, and another week where Jonas is willing to take part.
Yes.
In this exercise, so we appreciate that.
Good topic.
Very good topic.
This O-Dog
makes you think.
In. Now, he's what, on the panel tonight? Is
yeah, he's doing the Hall of Fame panel, Sports Center.
Doing the whole song and dance.
Yep, he's down there at the ACC. Okay, who wants to start the party off?
I'll go first.
All right, Noodles.
I'm late to the party. I might as well earn my keep here.
Take it away. In no particular order. It doesn't have to be in order if you don't want to.
Anything like that.
Okay.
I'll start here in Toronto because I know both of you gentlemen would want to beat me to the punch on this, but I will throw his name in there. Quite simple, number 34 from the Toronto Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews. If he continues on career path or where we all believe he can be, he can get the most points by a UMass-born American. He can have all these accolades.
He's already got Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. If he continues to, if he brought a cup here, all of that type of stuff.
Oh, it's over if he does that. And if he's the captain of the Leafs, I mean, that, I think, factors in.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my first one. I'll go to Edmonton, Connor McDavid. Same type of situation. You know, mirror each other. There's McDavid's on a path that I think a lot of people are have expected that for a long time.
Yep.
So that's pretty simple. There's a theme here. Big markets and big organizations with a lot of fan base behind them. Aaron Judge from the Yankees.
Good one.
You know? When you look at it, his early on success, you're playing for
the prominent team in baseball.
Exactly.
And they're going to go to the playoffs probably a lot in the future.
And think about their organization has such a fan base, like the Leafs, like the Cowboys.
Well, they get more love from the voters.
Exactly.
They just get more, they get focused on more.
Right. And speaking of the Cowboys, this one is a, if this guy kept it clean, I'll go with Ezekiel Elliott, but I mean, it seems like he's got some off the field issues.
Well, now it sounds like the suspension is happening now, if you believe it. But it sounds like the six games are going to happen. He's going to miss six games. But I mean, he had what, 1,800 total yards a year ago. This year he had a bit of a slow start, but he's coming on.
But if he keeps his career clean and plays to his capability, this is a guy who could be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bring it back to hockey, and these are, I've got two, and I don't know if they're long shots, but I'll go in net. Matt Murray, the guy's got two Stanley Cups at, what, 22 years old?
I think he's got a great chance of being
He gets one more, or a Vezina, and it's done.
If he mixes in a Vezina, I think it's
but
a lot.
Here's the thing, though. You're right, he has to mix in a Vezina. Chris Osgood has how many cups? And Chris Osgood has 400 wins in the league.
Yeah, I think he's got three cups, maybe.
But he was always perceived as not...
Matt Murray hasn't played a full season as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to do it. He's got a long ways to do it, but that's my point.
Starting with two cups is a very beginning.
In 16 season. Months or whatever it was.
It's an incredible start.
It's insane, but he's on that path. And the longest long shot, but I'm a fan, Andrei Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
I think the guy's a really good goalie.
Well, he's lost two games this year, I think.
I know. He's playing on a great team, and that helps.
I can't believe they did that to LA. They scored four goals in 2 minutes last night, Tampa.
And they just dummied them.
Four goals in 2 minutes.
And, of course, it's the usual suspects, too.
Stamkos, Kucherov.
Stamkos and Kucherov.
Dude, Kucherov is, like, he's a goal a game.
He doesn't make our cutoff, though.
No, he doesn't. He's been in the league too long. But he is a goal a game. Like, It's too early to start talking.
Right.
You know, he's not doing 50 and 50.
No, no.
But could he do 20 and 20? Absolutely. He's right there. Could he do 30 and 30?
I don't know, but it's
30 and 30 feels like the new 50 and 50.
And do you know what his cap hit is this year? 4.7.
This year and next.
And next.
Yeah. Like, and then he's an RFA.
Yeah, wow.
But he's getting paid.
We discussed it yesterday. He's getting paid.
He's getting paid. That's a good list.
There's my five pack or five and a half pack.
Jonas?
All right, I had Matthews.
Yeah.
Because it was either McDavid or Matthews, so I'll take him. Joel Embiid on the Philadelphia 76ers. But the big if he actually stays healthy.
Isn't this a guy who played 30 games a year?
Biggest band-aid in basketball.
If he plays, he's going to be great.
You're right, though. If he plays, this guy is a huge talent.
And he's fun.
Yeah, he's very fun.
His Twitter account is just...
I thought about putting Ben Simmons in, but it's been like 10 games. I can't do it yet. But look what he's doing. He's already putting up triple doubles, like the youngest player in NBA history.
And he looks good.
Looks very good.
Okay, so I have a couple NBAers. Kristaps Porzingis.
You got Porzingis 22. In there.
He's been amazing this year. And now he doesn't have Melo around. He's getting to score a little bit more.
Yeah.
The offense is centered around him. He plays in New York.
Injured.
We'll see how long.
Yeah.
Could be injured. Aaron Judge, good choice. Jamie, I went with him. And then how many do I have left here? Corey Seager for the Dodgers. I really think you guys made a good point. Like the market that the guy plays in
absolutely
makes a big difference. And he's going to play in L.A. They're good.
Ask Clayton Keller. Clayton Keller in Arizona.
Yeah, he's almost
completely
like a
off the radar.
Game.
Completely off the radar.
But he's off the radar. And because the only reason he's there is he's going to probably win the Calder or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's...
Well, look at Patrick Marleau. Like, he's like a question mark Hall of Famer. If he played in his
career in
Toronto.
He played 1,500 games in Toronto or in Ottawa or Calgary. Or
Slam dunk.
Look out.
Slam dunk.
Should point out, RJ Barrett just announced on TSN on SportsCenter he's going to Duke. So Coach K will be waiting for him. Off to Duke, RJ Barrett.
Nice.
And he's a guy, maybe in a few years, he's a part of this.
Our Hall of Famer.
Maybe. That's a great one. Corey Seager. I think Bellinger made an early case as well. All right, I got a five-pack. I got McDavid in there, too.
Yeah.
I'm throwing McDavid in. This is going to sound crazy. I don't have Matthews yet.
No?
I compared to other guys, he's right there. Like I would have him as like my 5.5, 6. Rookie of the year, obviously he's a spectacular player, but...
But if they're not including him, there's like no players in the NHL three seasons or under who you're going to put.
Well, McDavid.
Besides McDavid.
I've got
like,
McDavid.
That's it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no one else.
I guess maybe I'm just overcomplicating this, and I'm trying to think.
You might be overthinking
the box,
but also,
if he continues at 40 goals a year and captain of the Leafs, then he's a lock to get in.
Right.
I'm overthinking it. He's a part of it. I'm just going to go with a six pack. I'll include him. I've already
you talked yourself.
On the
you
whole
talked
thing.
Yourself out of it.
Karl Anthony Towns,
good one.
I think if he stays healthy, he's a lock. Look at
his
numbers through 2 years.
Yeah, but he's a little bit of a disappointment so far. Like,
no, he's not. Last year, look at his numbers a year ago, Jonas.
Trust me, man. People expected him to be like this dominant defensive
player.
He's
3 years in. Bigs take a while to develop. Right. I'm telling you, I'll take Karl Anthony Towns over Joel Embiid any day of the week.
Well, because he's going to stay healthy.
Exactly, which is a pretty important thing. I got Chris Bryant. And
good one.
That comes back to, again, the Cubs. Guy's got a rookie of the year, an MVP, and best player on a World Series team for a team that had not had one in 108 years.
That might be enough already.
It's real close already. Now, this year, he stepped back a little bit, but he's so naturally talented. He's like 22 years old. I think he's going to be a great player for a long, long time. I'm putting Dak Prescott in there. You went with Elliott. I'm going with Prescott because it's the more important position. It's the team he plays
on the Cowboys. Wouldn't that be the safer pick than Elliott?
I think it is. And he's the one that won Offensive Rookie of the Year last year, not Elliott.
Right.
And it was a battle between the two, but it ended up going with Dak. Dak, I also trust more.
That's what I was going to say.
I trust him a lot
safer
more.
Safer pick.
Very unassuming guy. Seems to be very committed to the craft. You never hear anything about off the field. And when we're projecting where these guys are going to be 10, 12 years down the road, I'll trust that over
and
the
backs.
Guy that I don't trust. And running backs can break down.
Yeah, very quick.
You know, quarterbacks have longer careers. They get more attention. I love what I've seen out of Dak Prescott. And this is one, again, we talk about a guy who doesn't get the attention because of the team he plays for. He should because of the market they're in now, but the market he got drafted to. Joey Bosa of the Chargers. He is a sack per game pass rusher. This kid is a beast. Him and Khalil Mack are like the two best young pass rushers. Khalil Mack's already played, I think, 4 years. He's into his fourth year, so he didn't qualify. Joey Bosa kind of off the beaten path in terms of the names we've been throwing out. But go look at his stats. Like, he's an absolute game changer. He's a J.J. Watt-type clone. Joey Bosa is on pace.
And he has no Laramie Tunsil videos underneath his belt?
He was a holdout last year trying to get a contract, and the belief was that was going to... He missed games.
Right.
But, man, he's a sack-per-game player through 20 games into his career. And then, yeah, Matthews, of course. I mean, who am I kidding? Austin Matthews, if he continues...
There.
And if you throw the C on him, and I think we're still trending towards that happening this time next year, right? This upcoming summer, he'll have the captaincy. And if they actually do keep rolling here and become a playoff team perennial every single year annually, he's the man.
I agree.
There you have it. Friday, five-pack. Paul Kariya going into the Hall of Fame. We'll catch up with him. Jonas, you're taking off. You're heading down to the ACC.
Yep.
Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, boys.
What are you writing about tonight?
I have to watch the game.
Austin Matthews making the Hall of Fame. There you go.
Make the case.
Too soon?
Yeah.
That's a good clickbaity kind of story.
Make the case.
Ask Mike.
Please do. All right. So Paul Kariya coming up. Noodles and I kicking around. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. So we're hoping to catch up with Paul Kariya. We caught up with Mark Recchi in the 4 p.m. hour. He was on the he was in the building anyway when Eddie Belfour
was wearing
rolled out in a pair of jeans and a leather jacket.
I saw yesterday, I think it was on Instagram or Twitter or one of the social media sites. Does he have like a whiskey company? Like, it was an Eddie Belfour, like, I think it was an Instagram account, and it's got something to do with, like, he's got his own, like, liquor company. And it was a picture of, like, him shaking hands with somebody else.
Like, I haven't seen that. I have not seen that.
And there are some pictures on that Instagram. It's, like, one of him getting welcomed back by the Blackhawks, and he's dropping the puck, and Pekka Rene's on one side and Corey Crawford's on the other. And then there was almost like a Legends of Chicago. He's in his gear for the national anthem, standing beside Corey Crawford. It was pretty cool, but it was all worked around like Eddie Belfour, like whiskey or something. Now, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but I'm quite certain that he might be involved in like a...
All right, we'll look that up. We can find out those details.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's tough to really determine which team he represented the most. Like, in baseball, players go in and they wear the cap of a certain team.
Right.
And there have been debates in the past. Like, Gary Carter's, I remember, was a big debate because I believe Cooperstown decides which hat they're going to wear.
Mm-hmm.
The players don't have a say in that. And they put him in an Expos hat, but he wanted to go in as a New York Met.
Really?
Because he spent the first half of his career with the Expos, second half with the Mets, but he won a World Series with the Mets. He was on that 86 Mets team.
So you can't choose?
No, I guess Cooperstown makes that decision for you. Like, we were obviously talking about Roy Halladay, who we all believe is going to go.
Right.
Now, I think it's more obvious that he would be a Blue Jay.
For sure.
Because he was here for longer.
Yeah, the time he was here.
But he did pitch in the playoffs as a Philly. He had a perfect game and a no-hitter in the playoffs as a Philly. So his biggest moments, he won a Cy Young as a Philly.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's too bad. Obviously, he won't be able to chime in on the conversation. But I'd like to believe, if you asked Halladay, maybe someone did, he'd probably say, I want to go in as a Blue Jay.
People associate him with the Blue Jays for the most part.
For sure. But we're in the bubble, though. Of course, we do. Does Joe Fan living in San Diego?
Although the Phillies... I mean, they had a press conference the other day. They had all sorts of things when the day he passed away.
And the Blue Jays have been taking a lot of heat about how they handled the news,
yeah,
and maybe their lack of handling it. And
there's no manual for this stuff.
That's the thing. Like, one story that came out this week made them look awful. Made them just look amateur.
Yeah.
Bob Elliott reported that Roy Halladay had reached out to them and suggested that he wanted to work with the team and wanted to work in development and be a part of spring training. And according to Bob Elliott, according to the report, they responded by saying, first of all, you have to apply for the job. And then secondly, they didn't give him the job. This is Roy Halladay.
I was just going to say, what's the screening process? It should be that he wants to work for you and that's it.
Like, if this story is true, and this is Bob Elliott, so if he's reporting it, it's true.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
That is an absolute embarrassment. Yeah. Shapiro and Atkins, whoever made the decision, and maybe it didn't get all the way up to them, but I'd like to believe it did. Whoever did should be embarrassed.
Yeah.
That's a joke. And that's why Halladay ended up working in Philly. Because he came to the Jays first and said, I'd like to be a part of the program. I want to work with the kids.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, send us your resume, apply. And then they said, no guy.
That like Wendell Clark going, hey, I'd like to be in Dougie Gilmore. Hey,
basically,
I'd like to be in.
Yeah, we're talking
like
a top five Blue Jay of all time.
No, we're good.
No, thanks.
No, here, send us your resume.
Yeah. Sorry, you are again. We got to go. We got to take this through HR.
Yeah. That's
like that's just embarrassing. And that's a disconnect between Shapiro Atkins and the history of this team. But, you know, the reaction to Halladay dying and what they were, quote unquote, supposed to do, I'm not willing to take Shapiro and Atkins out to the woodshed because of their lack of press conference. You know, it's something you obviously can't prepare for.
Yeah.
And let's say they did have a press conference. What does that ultimately
do? Does that make them even with the, like,
what do I care about what Mark Shapiro has to say? He wasn't here with Roy Halladay.
It's funny because Stephanie and I were talking about it, and she was like, yeah, you know, the Phillies did this and the Jays didn't do that. And I said, well, what are you supposed to fly in the bringer of rain? He didn't play with him. You know, Stroman didn't play with
him. No, Hamels played with him.
Right, so Hamels was there. Like, they didn't have anybody in the organization there as current players that were like, hey, you know, I was sat beside him on the plane.
Right.
Or like that, to me, I was fine with that because you're right. Like, Hamels was right there, happened to be there, so they bring him out in the press conference. It's a nice thing to have a press conference if you're the Blue Jays aesthetically, but why would, to your point, why would Shapiro talking about it, he wasn't with the organization at the time.
It would have been very disingenuous. I mean, could he have sent out your standard press release, you know, Mark Shapiro on behalf of the Blue Jays wants to? Yes, I suppose you could do that, but how does that affect the fan? The truth is, these guys have been in a very difficult position since day one because of the situation they walked into. They took over the Beeston and Anthopoulos Blue Jays, who had been to the playoffs for the first time in 20 years, and that was not perceived well. That was not accepted. And also where they came from. American guys from Cleveland taking over for two Canadian guys, one from Toronto, one from Montreal.
Right.
We obviously are very sensitive about that. And it's been a part of our sports fandom history in this city forever, and I think it always will be. But they have not been given a fair shake from some people from day one.
Right.
And then you add more and more things that come out, like the reports that the first meeting Shapiro had with Anthopoulos, he ripped into him about trading all the prospects away to go for it. Okay, let's take a run at Shapiro for that.
Right.
Reports come out that Shapiro is more interested in making money or doing this, that, or the other as opposed to winning. Okay, let's rip into him for that. And now this is the most recent example. Oh, Shapiro didn't handle this right.
Yeah.
Let's rip into him for that.
Pile on here.
The truth is, people have made up their mind.
I think there's a
lot of people that just don't like him, never liked him, didn't want him here, are never going to accept them being here.
Right.
And it makes you wonder where his tenure's going in Toronto, Mark Shapiro.
Well, you have success, you get a longer rope. That's the truth.
But he's got to make his own success because the path, like, that was Anthopoulos, his success.
You're right.
It was
his
team in many ways, the second year.
By all, the handling of Edwin is going to be a nerve for a lot of people.
That's
right?
On him. It's on his plate.
That's my point. Like, If Edwin was on the roster this year and they still had all the injuries and issues, then, yeah, you get it. But he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Cleveland.
Yep.
Doing very well. So that hits a nerve with people. So yep. You can see both sides of it.
Oh, I'm not saying... listen, I'm not a fan of the Mark Shapiro... or the president of the Mark Shapiro fan club.
Right.
I'm not saying that he's even done a great job. I don't think he has. I think the clock is really starting this summer, this winter.
Right.
You know, I think he took over what was a competitive team and just kind of rode that out. And then this past year, it all hit the wall. And now they're really on the clock to turn this thing around or make a decision whichever way they're going to go. Are you going to blow it up and reload? Okay, be honest with people and tell them that that's the plan.
Right.
Are you going to try to supplement what you do have, the core that you do have, and keep trying to win? Okay, tell us that that's the plan. Make us believe in it, because I find it hard to believe where we currently stand that that's actually doable.
Right.
But he has made mistakes. There are reasons to criticize him, but what I'm saying is I wasn't sitting there criticizing him day one.
Right.
Rodgers was the one that decided to bring him in. Mark Shapiro didn't personally walk in and say, get rid of Anthopoulos, get rid of Beeston, I'm buying the team, taking over the team, and doing whatever the hell I wanted.
Right.
He got hired.
Yep.
So you can't blame him because he got hired.
And you should somewhat give him a clean slate and then allow him to work with it. To your point, he inherited a team, and he's been trying to shape it the way he wants, and then... you know, some things have worked out, some haven't, but it's been on the latter because you measure a person's, I guess, ilk on their success. They haven't had success under him.
They haven't, at least this past year, and we'll see where they take it from here. Leafs Bruins tonight, no Matthews. We don't think Matthews will play tomorrow night. Last year, the Leafs swept the season series against the Bruins.
Well, and the Bruins are... they're a different team this year because they're nicked up.
But like Marchand is going to play tonight.
Yeah.
If that top line's together, you got to watch yourself.
You do have to watch yourself. You can't sleep on it. I mean, you know, the Vegas game, even against Minnesota, like they're it's not like they're rinsing teams 8-5 like they were at the start of the season where you knew they were going to put up 6-7 goals.
No.
The league is tightened up, and the Leafs aren't surprising anybody. Which is, it's a good thing because they've got respect throughout the league. Teams are ready for them because you're not looking at the Leafs from 3 or 4 years ago and saying, okay, yeah, they've got one or two guys. They've got a Kessel that you shut Kessel down and yeah, you're pretty much fine. Now they've got layers of players that can hit you. Connor Brown, one of our favorites, is playing very well. I think Gordon Miller told me this. Gino told me this. Connor Brown's leading them in goals this month.
Yeah, he is. I think he's got 5 in the 4 games they've played.
Yeah, he's been great. You know, Kadri's dangerous.
Kadri's on pace for 30 again.
I saw that. Somebody sent me the note. But,
early still.
Exactly. That's
still, you got to give him credit.
You have to give him a
didn't come out of the gate slow. I mean, he's played well.
Yeah, absolutely. But, it's with Matthews out, you're going to ask for more from some of the players in-house. To be better or to absorb some of those minutes. I'll be tracking. I mean, we all know what Frederik Andersen's capable of when he's on. I'm still looking for consistency in the defensive zone, not just from the D, from the forwards as well. Because this team gets running around and they get chasing the puck and they give up a lot of high quality chances. And Andersen, I thought, was terrific last game. In the second period, he made 3 huge saves. One on Cullen on the back door that ended up, they went the other way and scored. I can't remember who else it was. I think it was Zucker in the slot where they went outside the dots and they allowed a left-handed shot right downtown. And Andersen was in terrific position. He made some really good saves at the right time. And then the team went the other way.
He's playing again tonight, and it sounds like Khudobin's going tonight. So I guess Rask will go tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So
on the front end,
doesn't matter. You're playing 2 games. McElhinney, I assume, will play tomorrow. So at some point, you're getting the starter. At some point, you're getting the backup.
Yeah. Khudobin's—he's a sneaky goalie. He's really, really—I don't know—inconsistent with his technique. He's a little bit erratic. He's quick in the net. He kind of has the reputation of being a goalie for example, he's not carved out of stone.
Mm-hmm.
That was he's a, you know, I believe he's from Magnitogorsk, where I played over there, and he had started there, and they talked about this goaltender who had a ton of talent, but wasn't as dedicated to fitness as they wanted him to be.
Yeah, and I like that.
That's the
those are my favorite
the narrative
reports.
Of goaltenders.
It happens.
So, exactly.
Leafs Bruins again tonight on TSN, and then they're in Boston tomorrow night on TSN 1050. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine and tee up a busy weekend. Overdrive continues TSN 1050. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NFL board this weekend, I'm done with the Browns. I was never with the Browns, but although I hate the Lions too.
Will they win? The Browns?
No, they're not going to win. They're in Detroit. I mean, the Lions are that kind of team that would somehow fold under pressure and hand a free win to the Browns. But I'm going to lay the points. Cleveland sucks, and Detroit's... This division is up for grabs for them. You know, Minnesota's a really good team, but they've got a third-string quarterback playing, and Matt Stafford, he's highest-paid player in NFL history. They got to get it rolling. This should do it, I would think, with Cleveland at home. So I'll lay the points. You know, lay the points, the Jets at Tampa as well. Jameis Winston not playing. Tampa's been a huge disappointment this year. The Jets are coming off a longer week because they played the Thursday nighter last week against the Bills, so more right. prep. And I'm going to lay the points, Rams at home against Houston. Tom Savage, please. Rams have been crushing teams, man. Their offense has been great. Their defense has been really, really special recently. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So we've got the NFL going on. We've got the NBA, the NHL.
It's going to be a good weekend.
Hall of Fame weekend here in Toronto.
You couching at all or no?
I intend on couching. I'm going to my cousin's wedding, though, tomorrow. So this
another
be...
wedding? You couldn't bail out of it with the knee?
No, I couldn't do it. I mean, I missed out a couple of weeks ago on Adrian's, and I'm still feeling AC's bad about that. But that was so fresh after the surgery.
Yeah, you were...
I wasn't ready to
you
get out.
You missed the feedback, too. That was a
big Italian wedding.
Yeah, there was...
Mullen. My favorites.
Mullen went to work. So did Hunt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've heard nothing but good things about AC's wedding.
Was good.
So I apologize to her. And
well, there's not much you can do.
Nothing I can do. The surgery, you know, it happens. But tomorrow's like my first outing in like 2 months.
You'll be all right.
First time since Barry, really. First time since Barry. I've been out in public, like at night.
You'll be swimming in that suit of yours.
I've lost weight.
I know.
It's all muscle.
You've lost
I've that. Lost all muscle because I'm still eating horribly. But you just lay around and don't do anything. You lose
nothing.
Weight.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I'll be okay. So anyway, that's what's going on with me tomorrow. But yes, I intend on couching tonight.
For some reason, I hope that Matthews gets the rest that he needs. Like I don't know the injury, but if he somehow showed up in Boston tomorrow and played that, I don't know. In the back of my mind, I would be sitting there going, did he get the proper rest? And would you be fine with just sitting him out tonight and tomorrow and then playing next Thursday?
I think that's the move. I think we're talking early November. These are big divisional games.
They are, but this is a good test for the rest of your group, too, as to you're not a one-man team, which they're not. They have depth. That's what you have depth for. That's, you know, where guys get opportunity. You know, Levo, guys that everyone's been talking, this guy, he needs an opportunity. He's got to be
he's
in
playing.
There. Exactly. Seize it. Be a guy that not that when Matthews comes back that you're taking his spot and you're not coming out of the lineup, but you earn the trust of the coach that he forces somebody else out.
Well, listen, your coach kind of put you on notice a couple of weeks ago, proved to him that you're an NHLer. And if it gets to a point where they do pull you out next time, give the rest of the league enough ammunition to call up and say, okay, what do I have to do to get him out of there?
Right.
Like, this is a career-turning moment for Josh Levo.
It is.
He hasn't played enough in 2 years. So when you do play, you've got to make an impact. You've got to do something that leads to a scout in the house
Right.
So, and that's a guy that's worthy of making a call on.
Yeah, see, we've got a, we think we have a gem, our sights on a gem that he's not being played in Toronto because they've got depth in that position. So once he becomes available, or if he's available, you can grab him.
Yeah.
But they've got to do it.
He has to do it. You know, because I think at some point they're going to have to move on from guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Levo, Soshnikov, they've got Kapanen, they've got other kids.
But you also have to make decisions on Bozak, Komarov, and JVO.
Yeah, oh, there's going to be turnover.
So that, sure. You're sitting there going, okay, are we biding time to decide? Maybe behind the scenes they're talking to all three of those guys to see where they're at financially and what they want. Like Komarov, what would he garner as far as a contract? And
I don't think they're going to do it mid-season on him.
No.
I think JVR is the only guy that if they actually are committed to signing him long-term, then you start talking with him.
I agree.
Bozak, you can wait until the end of the year. Komarov, because you can't imagine there's a million teams out there waiting for him. JVR's got the kind of talent, if he became a UFA, he'd have a lot of options.
Agreed.
All right, buddy. Good stuff.
Yep.
Keep rocking the Karjala Cup.
Sunday at 10 p.m. Or 10 a.m.
10 a.m. over in Sweden. I'm looking forward to it. All right, buddy. Enjoy your weekends. We're out here. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.